Hello and welcome to the Advisor Pact monthly session. I'm Mark Little. This is your monthly opportunity for live coaching. So if you have questions, type them in to the system here and I'll respond, or just raise your hand and I'll unmute you and we'll do some live coaching. We'll work through whatever your issues are. This program, the Advisor Pact monthly program, represents your Advisor Pact pledge to every ideal client and mastering all that it takes to deliver on these four client expectations. PACT is an acronym, and it represents your ability to look a client in the eye and say, you've got protection because I'm here. I will be the one to protect your financial strategy and your financial assets, and I'll sound the alarm if anything is in danger. I will pay attention. I'll be the person in your life that notices if anything drifts even slightly off course, and I'll be the one to proactively recommend the course corrections required to get you back on track. And coordination, I'll be the individual that coordinates all the financial people in your life. Clients have other financial people, accountants, lawyers, insurance agents. One of the four client expectations is that they have somebody in their life to coordinate all these people and all these financial products. And then finally, transparency. It's a big complaint among successful affluent people that, frankly, they don't know exactly what they're paying. The perception is that they feel there are lots of hidden expenses, or in some cases, they're not even sure what they're paying for their financial products or services. But the point is, these are the four things that our research has shown in my own personal experience over the last 30 years, which got me onto the trail of this. I observed with my own eyes that these are the four things that our research confirms that affluent clients claim they cannot find anywhere at any price with any financial advisor. So your willingness to step up, make this pledge, and then work very hard to implement all that's required to master these four and deliver on these four promises, that's placing you in an enviable position. You have an opportunity, quite literally, to be the only game in town so that you're rendering your competition irrelevant. So the goal is to deliver something that we call truly comprehensive financial services. That's coordinating all five areas of personal finance, financial planning, money management, insurance, estate planning, and tax, to deliver truly comprehensive financial services, coordinating those five areas, but not just in a procedural check-the-box manner. It's to be delivered in a way that exceeds ideal client expectations. So it's not just things behind the scenes. It's things that clients notice. It's implementing things that clients value. And it's implementing truly comprehensive financial services in a way that ideal clients find exceptional. And so what's the outcome? Well, the outcome of delivering truly comprehensive financial services at this level is the outcome we expect, and the outcome that we see in our members is a minimum of 5 initial client interviews per week resulting from spontaneous unsolicited client referrals. So what would your life be like if every week you had 5 meetings with new potential clients who all came in as a result of a well-served client telling them, you've got to sit down and meet with my advisor? Well, that's the outcome of this program. So let's get right to it. But the question on the table is, what should the annual referral rate be? This question came in from a financial advisor, who just went through the module that we send out called the Referability Dashboard. And I won't go into the great detail of the Referability Dashboard, except to say that it tracks the annual referral rate. And that's what he's referring to here. So I'm going to fly through this content. You're going to need to fasten your seatbelts, and we'll cover a lot of content to end in the process of answering this question. And some of the terms are going to be new to you. And I'm going to pause long enough because everybody listening to this is at a different stage of the program. And so some of these terms may be unfamiliar to some of you, and I'm not going to go into great detail on some of these terms except to just define them so you understand how to basically interpret the answer to this question. So the advisor had encountered this referability dashboard, is now tracking the annual referral rate, and the simple question is, what should the annual referral rate be? All right, so let me just pause long enough to say, what is the annual referral rate? Well, because it's a rate, it's per ideal client. So in our program, we just deal with ideal clients. So the annual referral rate is the total number of ideal client referrals over the last 12 months divided by the number of ideal clients that you have currently. And that's your annual referral rate. So it's presented as a rate. And so in essence, let's say you have 10 ideal clients and you received 10 referrals attributable to those ideal clients over the last 12 months. So the way the math would go, it would be 10 ideal client referrals divided by 10 ideal clients equals 1.000. And that's the final step to the annual referral rate, is we calculate the rate up to three decimal. We always calculate the annual referral rate to three decimal points so it's a very sensitive measure. We notice even small movements in the rate so that you can measure your increasing referrals over time. And we, in the referability dashboard, that module is, we provide a spreadsheet which allows you to just simply track this number like a stock. You chart it. And it's the trend that really matters over time. Is your referrals attributable to ideal clients over the last 12 months? Is the trend that's going up, or is it going down? And that's what we really focus on. And the key to this is to plug it in to your team's culture so that they are seeing this updated number. We track this at least on a monthly basis, so it's updated at least once a month. And in the referability dashboard, we have that dashboard, that spreadsheet. You just input a very few data points to as far as inputs, and then the referability dashboard produces a beautiful one-page report for your team so that you can update your entire team every month so they can see what the trend is. I mean, they're the ones, after all, that are delivering truly comprehensive financial services with you, your subject matter experts. And you may not be that far so in our program, but as you continue through our modules, one of the modules very early on is the module to build your team of subject matter experts so that you have a financial planning subject matter expert, a money management subject matter expert, a tax subject matter expert, an insurance subject matter expert, and an estate planning subject matter expert. You've got those five subject matter experts delivering truly comprehensive financial services to your clients. And that's the way we teach the program. But the point is, you know, they're the ones delivering, those subject matter experts are the ones delivering truly comprehensive financial services. The question is, are they impressing our ideal clients or not? Well, it's the annual referral rate that you put in front of your team every month so that they can see whether what they're delivering to clients is having a positive impact with the clients. If we're adding value to clients' lives, then that's human nature. The clients can't help themselves. If they have an extraordinary experience with anything, a restaurant, or they go to a great movie, or they have a financial advisor do something for them that's just extraordinary. It's just the way that we're wired as humans. We cannot resist sharing the good news of great experiences with the others in our lives that we care about. And so that's the importance of the annual referral rate. Now, we're going to talk in this session about your implementation progress. In other words, as you're progressing, implementing the Advisor Pack Monthly program, you're making forward progress. As you implement, you're adding value to your clients. So we're going to talk about, as you are progressing, implementing this program, how does that work alongside the annual referral rate? In other words, what should the annual referral rate be doing? That's the question today that was submitted. What should the annual referral rate be? And I'm telling you, the connection is with your forward progress with this program. In other words, comparing the annual referral rate against your implementation progress will give you the answer that you're looking for as far as what your annual referral rate should be. So let's get into it. I'm going to dig into it. And the starting point for this discussion as far as understanding your implementation progress is thinking about the progress of implementing truly comprehensive financial services in steps. Okay, so there are 11 steps, 11 implementation steps in putting together truly comprehensive financial services. So as you implement truly comprehensive financial services, there are 11 steps to getting it implemented. And let's walk through them. Now, I'm going to tear a page out of the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. This is our flagship program. This is the software that that advisors, you know, can join with us. And we take them through a kind of a more intensive program than the Advisor Pack Monthly program. And this is what I'm showing you here. This is something that we train over in the toolkit, but it explains the 11 steps of implementation. So I'm going to go through them with you here. So we make a big deal in the Trusted Advisor Toolkit program to get your administrative manager involved, your assistant. We understand that in the Advisor Pack Monthly program, you may not have an assistant, or you may have made the decision, at least for now, to implement on your own as a financial advisor. But over in the toolkit, it's a requirement. Over in the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, you have to have an administrative manager even to join the toolkit. And so we make a distinction over there that there is an infrastructure that needs to be put in place before your team is even capable of operating functionally as a team. And so the first five steps have to do with just, we call this the administrative manager stage, but you can implement this as the advisor. As the advisor, you can implement these five steps as well. But it has to do with getting a solid assistant into place. So step one is acquiring an effective administrative manager. So if you don't have one now, at some point, if you're successfully implementing, you'll need one. My friend Bill Bachrach says famously that if you don't have an assistant, you are one. So at some point, your priorities are much higher. Your highest payoff activities are not doing the administrative things in your office. Those are a distraction at some point. But rather, you know, serving your ideal clients and going out and getting new ones, that's really how your time should be devoted. So these first five steps have to do with getting the administrative infrastructure into place so that so that your team has a point of contact and your clients have a point of contact that frankly aren't you, so that you can go focus on actually serving the clients. So step number one is acquiring an effective administrative manager. Step number two is that you have, as an advisor, have had an expectations conversation with your administrative manager where you literally just, the way we teach it is we script this out for advisors, but you in essence just set your expectations for your administrative manager, which is, I've got two priorities as a financial advisor: serving my clients face to face and on the phone, directly serving them, and going out and getting new clients. So investing my time face-to-face or on the phone with potential clients. And literally everything else in the firm should be delegated at some point. So that's step number two, just to have the conversation once you have an administrative manager to just lay the line and say, to explain that it's really not about your job description but it's about my job description being these two things, and you've got to be willing to pitch in and help on everything else. Step number three is to acquire at least one ideal client, because you cannot implement truly comprehensive financial services in theory. You have to actually have a client at some point that where you're actually delivering the services. So in step three, we kind of pause the program until you acquire at least one ideal client. So up until step three in the Trusted Advisor Toolkit and in this program, it's just happening more behind the scenes in the Advisor Pack Monthly program. We focus a lot of energy on acquiring ideal clients. So now you've acquired one ideal client. Step four is to acquire two of your five subject matter experts. So the minimum number of people that technically or even grammatically could be defined as a team is two people. So you need at least two subject matter experts to start implementing the infrastructure of this system so that so that they can start working together and implementing all the things that we provide to you for, you know, establishing truly comprehensive financial services. So you have one client, then you have two subject matter experts, a financial planner, and one of the others. It doesn't matter, but one of the two should be the financial planner, and then the other one can be any of the other four. And so that they're utilizing in the toolkit, we have a team work area where you're actually setting up a web page for each client meeting. But in essence, you in the Advisor Pack Monthly program, what you're doing in step four is you are working with your two subject matter experts to plan for client progress meetings. And that gets complicated too, because we have a three-meeting process. So you're meeting with clients once every 4 months. Every meeting has a specific agenda and preparation with reports that we provide and everything. So so it's really these two subject matter experts implementing the system that we provide on the one ideal client. And until you have your team, it's up to the advisor to serve that ideal client. So it's a good process, because advisors are used to serving their clients anyway. And these 11 implementation steps just sort of lay in our system over what your already existing your existing process. Step five is your administrative manager qualifying for something called the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, the Toolkit Inner Circle. So in the Advisor Pack Monthly program, we just provide for you all the criteria for the Toolkit Inner Circle so that you can, you know, hold your administrative manager to the standards required. And it's basically just a checklist of things that have to get done prior to every client progress meeting so that your team can function as a team. So that's stage one of three. These are the first five steps of the 11 implementation steps. So stage two, we call the team stage. So now you've got the infrastructure in place. You've got a couple of subject matter experts. Step six is all about just pausing until you've got all your subject matter expert positions filled. So, you know, a financial planner, a tax subject matter expert, money management, estate planning, and insurance. So we pause on step six. We've got a 12-step process. We call it the deliverables team recruitment process. It's one of the modules that we send you. And you basically pause on step six until you've got your entire team in place. And then step seven is acknowledging that every one of your clients has financial people in their life already. And some of those people aren't going anywhere. So for example, you've I'm sure had clients over the years that have had a tax accountant for 20 years, and you know they love them, and they're frankly doing a great job, and so are, you know, that person may still stay in place for that client. And I'll give you another example that's true in almost every client situation: insurance agents. So they're auto and homeowners insurance agent and so forth. So you've got all these other people. We call these implementation team members. So step seven is all about your, what we call your oversight team, which is your subject matter experts, reaching out and introducing themselves and beginning to direct and oversee the implementation subject matter experts, the client's insurance agents and the client's accountant. So it's our team doing what the client has hired us to do, which is to begin overseeing the whole thing. So we're going to create the strategy and the overarching strategy and make sure that it's in alignment with what the client's trying to achieve. And we will help the client implement, obviously. But for those areas of their life where they've got other people involved, their banker, their insurance agents, and so forth, our subject matter experts, our oversight team in step seven agrees to reach out and begin overseeing the implementation subject matter experts, the other miscellaneous financial people in the client's life. So that's what we call the team stage. It's all about just getting the team in place and working together. All right, that's six and seven. Then finally, stage three are steps 8, 9, 10, and 11. So step eight is to make sure that every subject matter expert fully understands what's expected of them in this system. And it's primarily the team goal, and we'll talk more about that here in just a minute. But that's step eight. Step nine is what we call functional team. Internally, the delivery of truly comprehensive financial services has fully shifted to the subject matter expert, and the trusted advisor is responsible for an extraordinary meeting experience. So it's in step nine that we shift the responsibility, whatever lingering responsibilities there are in between meetings for actually delivering the services to the clients, that shifts in step nine fully over to the team of subject matter experts. So the trusted advisor is no longer involved, you know, except for those times when they have to be, urgent situations, of course. The trusted advisor is always going to step in. But on a routine basis, the subject matter experts take over. So in step nine, the subject matter experts begin to serve the clients fully. And the trusted advisor, their responsibility is to step in and run the meetings. So you know, we have a module explaining and showing how to make this shift, but you know, the primary skill for the trusted advisor, for you as the advisor, is to deliver a truly an extraordinary meeting experience, so that every client walks out of every meeting thinking, "Wow, I'm glad I didn't miss that meeting. That was truly valuable." You want every client leaving every client progress meeting with an overwhelming sense that they're making forward progress. And we have a full script binder of all the meetings and the three meeting process where we've scripted it out. What should an optimal preparation meeting, we call it the dry run prep meeting, which is a feature of our system. Before every client progress meeting, you have a dry run prep meeting with your team. And so we fully script all those out. So for each client progress meeting, there's a script for the dry run prep meeting and a script for the meeting itself with the client, so that you can see how to use all the proprietary one-page client progress reports and five critical reports and all the reports that we've researched and found that, you know, we've in essence done a lot of work on what clients hate about the reports that they currently receive from the financial services industry. And we've, over the years, we've streamlined all those reports and eliminated what the clients hate, and just what's left is a very clean set of reports that you hand to the client during the meeting to support the conversation. But these reports have all been vetted with the clients so that we know that these are the reports that the clients want to see. So that's step nine. Step 10 is to begin reviewing your team's performance. We have an entire module on measuring your staff, your subject matter experts' performance. We have a key performance measures form. And you begin reviewing, sitting down with your subject matter experts once every 4 months for what we call a subject matter expert expectations conversation. And that step number 10 is the key to the annual referral rate. Once you get to step 10 and you've got a full team in place and your team is functioning like a team, then in step 10, as you start interacting with subject matter experts one-on-one every 4 months for, in essence, a performance review, then that's where you start working out with each subject matter expert what their role in exceeding client expectations is. It's really up to them to you know, develop plans, strategies, and tactics for increasing client expectations within their narrow field of finance. This is each subject matter expert individually. And so it's in these performance reviews where you're holding them accountable to that. And that's where you start seeing the annual referral rate really begin to rise. There's at some point a tipping point, and that's generally where it occurs, is in step 10 of 11. And then step 11, on average, trusted advisors conducting at least 5 initial client interviews per week. The goal is from unsolicited client referrals. So it's not you even asking for referrals. It's clients in their own life, running, you know, just living their life when you're not around, talking to people in their life about the extraordinary experience that they're having with their financial advisor and their team and your team. So those are the 11 steps. You have to understand these 11 steps. And so if you're wondering, how long does it take to get all this in place? Well, we've studied this over in the toolkit for years, since 2009. And it turns out that the average advisor is able to achieve one step every 30 to 60 days. So, you know, you achieve step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. If you're achieving them one a month on average, which is reasonable, then you could achieve you can implement the entire system in less than a year. So if that's your goal, that's your goal. Now, the cool thing about the Advisor Pack monthly program that you're in right now, it's self-paced. We only give you one module a month. If you want to join the fast track and get modules quicker, you can. We give you that option. But we've learned over the years that many advisors feel lucky if they can get one module implemented a month. So we pace it to you. You go at your own pace in the Advisor Pack monthly program. So we're not pushing you. Like over in the toolkit, it's a much more intense environment where we attempt to get what we give to you in this program, the first 12 modules. Over in the toolkit, it's much more intensive. We're asking members of the toolkit to implement those first 12 modules in the first 90 days. So it just gives you a sense of, you know, over in that program, it's very intensive and only for those who have completely thoroughly committed to this. And over here in this program, you're operating at your own pace. You implement as quickly as you're capable, as fast as you can, but we're not putting any pressure on you to implement any faster than you're able to do it. So back to this notion of your implementation progress through those 11 steps, how does that compare with the annual referral rate? So the question on the table is, as you implement each of these 11 implementation steps, how do you know if your team is implementing effectively enough? So you move from one module to the next. How do you know you've implemented it effectively enough? You're moving from one step 1 to 2, 3 through step 11 of truly comprehensive financial services. How do you even know if your team is implementing effectively enough? Well, the answer is in comparing your implementation progress with the annual referral rate. An increasing annual referral rate is the confirmation that you're implementing effectively enough. In other words, if your annual referral rate is increasing, then you're implementing effectively. If your annual referral rate as you implement 1 through 11 is not increasing, if it's level or if it's decreasing, then that's confirmation that you're not implementing effectively. So it's a real simple measure just comparing the two, and that's why we've learned over the years. That's why we measure the annual referral rate. It's the best and most direct method of whether your clients are impressed with your services or not. And as you're increasing value by implementing these modules, they should be more impressed as time goes on. So effective forward implementation is always accompanied by an increasing annual referral rate. Now, if it's not, you might be wondering, why is that? And what do I do? Well, we've been doing this a lot of years now, and I myself am still a financial advisor, so I'm still measuring this on myself. But if the annual referral rate, let's say you're tracking your annual referral rate and it's not increasing, it's usually due to one of two things. One is you may be implementing too quickly. In other words, you need to slow it down a little bit, because what's happening is you're internally implementing you know, the procedures and the infrastructure for your team, as far as our system, but you're implementing faster than your team is capable of figuring out how to impress the clients with those tools. So, you know, it's easy. It's a lot easier just to get tools implemented and in place in your firm than it is to use them effectively. And so if your annual referral rate is not increasing, then slow it down a little bit. Go back and revisit some of these lessons and these modules that we've sent you so that your team can absorb them and that, you know, your team has time to actually implement the tools and strategies and all the things that we're teaching you slow enough that they can figure out how to use those strategies and tactics to actually exceed client expectations. The second reason typically that we see if an annual referral rate is not increasing is you may need to implement more carefully. In other words, in your enthusiasm to get everything in place, these modules are sometimes just not implemented carefully enough. In other words, or you encounter something in our module that's at odds with something you're already doing in your business. And so you just skip that because you think in your mind, well, we've already got that in place. We already have a way of doing that. So we'll implement just pieces and parts of the module that Mark sends me and not the whole thing. And that's fine as long as your annual referral rate is increasing. But if your annual referral rate is not increasing, you need to go back and revisit that. And our recommendation in troubleshooting a situation where your annual referral rate is not increasing, go back on every previous module. And we're happy if you request a previous module that you've received. Did you know that all you have to do is contact us and say, hey, that module, two months ago that you sent me, I need that one back. Can you? And we'll be happy to send that to you as your next module. But you know, you may need to implement more carefully because elements of our training have been skipped or have not been fully implemented, and that's very common. So, you know, again, if your referral rate's increasing, no big deal. But if your annual referral rate is not increasing, then we've got to go back and the default now has to be just do it Mark's way. And let's see if we can are capable of implementing it that Mark's way, even if it represents a change internally to what we're doing. But let's go back and let's implement it exactly so that we can, you know, do it step by step and, you know, resolve this so that our annual referral rate is increasing. So let's look at it on a chart. This is the way we do it in the toolkit, and I recommend you do it the same way as well. Let's talk about the comparison between your forward implementation and your annual referral rate. So in the x-axis on this chart is time. So you notice we have January, February, March. We've got an entire year here. And so in essence, that's what the blue line is. That's your forward implementation. So let's just say hypothetically, you implement Truly Comprehensive Financial Services over an 11-month period so that you've gone through steps 1 through 11 in a year. That's what this is showing on the chart. Now let's look at the y-axis. The y-axis is your annual referral rate. So it's a rate, as we said. It's the number of referrals provided by your ideal client over the last 12 months, but per client. All right, so let's say this is your annual referral rate. What we're looking for is what we call a positive correlation. We want to see as you're implementing the 11 steps and you're adding more value to your clients, it makes perfect sense that your referral rate should be increasing. As a matter of fact, your referral rate is the most direct and the best method of determining whether you're implementing effectively or not. So what you're seeing here is what we call positive correlation, but I'm going to call it low positive correlation. And we'll talk about this. We call it low positive correlation, increased team energy. So more on that in a minute. But I just want to get the concept down for you. So let's actually lay numbers in here. So let's say at step one, first time you calculate your annual referral rate, you go back over the last 12 months and you see how many referrals you've been given from your ideal clients. And when you divide it per ideal client, it ends up that you're receiving 0.125 referrals from each ideal client over the last 12 months. Well, don't panic, because it's very, very common that the first time you calculate this number, that it's below one. And just don't worry about it. Just let it go. My numbers were similar to this. My number was something very close to this. When I first calculated the annual referral rate years ago, this was in the year 2000 when I first started tracking this. And there is, as I said, a tipping point. There is a point where you're implementing the system, steps 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And at some point, your team starts to pull it together. Your team's, you know, there's a light bulb moment or something starts to happen on your team where they start to get it. They start to see a client whose expectations have been exceeded, and they kind of crack the code. They start to realize what it takes to exceed a client's expectation, and now they can begin to replicate that across all your ideal clients. So we call that the tipping point. Let's say in this scenario, it took until August. So you're at step number 7 before you reach the next milestone, and which is to break 1. So now in August, you're receiving more than 1 referral from every ideal client. Well, that's a pretty big move. So that's the tipping point in this hypothetical. And then after that, your team has it figured out, and they start reaching the next milestones, 2 referrals per ideal client, 3 referrals per ideal client, and so forth, up until step 11. And so I just wanted to show you these numbers, but this is what we call low positive correlation. The reason I tell you this is because if I study, in going back and researching and studying every advisor who's successfully gone through this program, made it all the way to step 11, and has a positive correlation between their annual referral rate and their implementation progress, the actual numbers of advisors who successfully implement this system have what a high positive correlation would look like. And that's what this is. This is more what we're used to seeing. So the tipping point comes much sooner. So let's say we start out in the same hypothetical. Your annual referral rate is whatever it is at the beginning, let's say 0.125, just whatever it is, it doesn't matter. And you start tracking it monthly, and you start going through steps 1, 2, and 3. But let's say by step 5, when you've completed the first 5 steps, that's the administrative manager stage where you've got the infrastructure in place for your team to actually function as a team. This is more commonly where the first milestone is reached. So let's say in this hypothetical, starting in January, by June, you've gotten to the point where now you're receiving more than 1 referral from every ideal client. And by August, you've reached the next milestone of more than 2 referrals from every ideal client on average over the last 12 months. And then you've really crossed the tipping point, because now you're starting to achieve milestones much quicker, much more quickly. And it usually is just a handful of clients who really, really get what you're doing and really appreciate what you're doing and start providing substantial number of referrals. But whatever it is, the point is that the next milestone is more than 3 referrals per ideal client over the last 12 months. Let's say by October, you've got more than 5 referrals per ideal client over the last 12 months. November, more than 7. And then I would say step 10 is really up to the skill of your team. I hesitate to even put a number on step 11, because, you know, we've seen numbers consistently very, very high. But it really depends on the skill and the seriousness of your team, how much your team's really focusing on this project and so forth. So the skill and ability of your team has to do with what the top number, what your team is capable of doing. But the point I'm trying to get to you is to show you this is a very highly positively correlated comparison between your forward implementation of the 11 steps and your annual referral rate. So let me go through 2 other scenarios, and then we'll get down to brass tacks, what you need to actually do to improve your situation. So we've had a low positive correlation, a high positive correlation between your annual referral rate and your forward implementation progress. This is another scenario. It's called negative correlation. And if I were to put this scenario into words, it is that as you're implementing the 11 steps of truly comprehensive financial services, in other words, as you're adding more and more and more value to each and every one of your ideal clients, what you're noticing on the referral side is that your referrals are actually going down. So the more value you add to clients, at least in your mind, the less referrals you receive. Well, this is the scenario we call failure. So we'll talk about what to do in this scenario as far as conversations with your team. But it's really, as a leader, it's up to you to acknowledge the truth and to communicate to your team in no uncertain terms that this is not working. This is a failure scenario, and whatever we're doing, it's not impressing the ideal clients. So we need to revisit everything. And then the fourth and final scenario is no correlation. So you notice here that as you're implementing the 11 steps, you know, your referral rate, first it's going down, and then, yeah, and then it's going up pretty steadily, but then by August it's going down again. And then you see some hope, it starts going up, but then by November it starts coming down again. So it's just, there seems to be no correlation between your annual referral rate and the value you're providing your clients. And this is what we call the aimless scenario, where and there's some specific things you do with your team in this and each of these four scenarios. So I'll go back and kind of go through each of these four scenarios in terms of what you're supposed to do to address them. But I just wanted to get our communication on the same page so that you understand these are the scenarios, and that your annual referral rate needs to be looked at in the context of where you are in your forward implementation. So the four scenarios: high positive correlation, that's success. So if you are highly positively correlated, if your annual referral rate is skyrocketing upward as you are implementing more value to your clients, that's success. And I would say we have some routine things that you need to do in your business to follow our system. For example, meeting with subject matter experts every 4 months to hold them accountable to what they're doing individually to exceed client expectations. So yeah, you do some of these routine things and you continue doing that. But other than the routine things, you don't do anything else special. Just give your team a lot of praise and acknowledge that things are really going well. So that's high positive correlation. Low positive correlation is also success. So I would encourage you that if as you're implementing the 11 steps of truly comprehensive financial services, if your annual referral rate is going up, if it's increasing, even at a very low rate, I would be complimenting my team. I would be celebrating with my team every time that annual referral rate goes up, even if it's not going up much, or in your mind, you're a little bit frustrated because you know it can be rising faster than it is. But don't ever let your team think that a low positive correlation is a failure, because it is a victory. Any advisor that can kind of change the scenario to where as they're adding more value to clients implementing this system, their annual referral rate is going up at any pace, that is success. And your team should be told that by you. They need to hear it from the top. But in terms of what's being left on the table, what's the opportunity? How do I turn low positive correlation into high positive correlation? It's something to do with your team energy. So either they're not focusing on this enough, or they just need more encouragement from you. Like every time you interact with your team, are you mentioning the annual referral rate? Are you, are you praising your team when you catch them doing things that exceed client expectations? Praise team members in front of the entire group. When you have dry run prep meetings where all your subject matter experts are in an online meeting with you, or on the phone, or however you do those face to face, some of you, when your team is gathered like that, look for opportunities to praise as many subject matter experts as possible for little things, little positive, encouraging pieces of feedback that you're getting from clients and elsewhere. Just little signs that you see that your team is exceeding client expectations, and you know, just make it a bigger deal. Talk about it more, praise your team more, encourage your people more, talk about the team goal more, just talk it up. You just need to basically boost the energy of everything. And it took me a number of years to observe this in teams, but that's literally all it is. It's the boss, it's the leader at the top, noticing positive behavior on the team and boosting the energy of the team. That's what turns a low positive correlation into a high positive correlation. Negative correlation, that is failure. And I think the big challenge here is to get your team to acknowledge that it's failure. So it's really up to you to sit down with the team. And I would call a team meeting and say, look, team, as we are implementing each of the steps of, as we make forward progress, implementing the 11 steps of truly comprehensive financial services, which means each of you subject matter experts are providing more and more value to our clients each and every week, each and every month as we implement forward. But the referrals are going down. Houston, we have a problem. It is not working. Whatever we're doing is not working. And it's getting your team to maybe they don't acknowledge that the referral rate is the proper measure for their performance. Maybe they're sitting there and we see this, that, you know, some subject matter experts just shake their head and say, what does anything I have to do have anything to do with referrals? And it is, you know, maybe it's just acceptance of the premise that the annual referral rate is the best and most effective measure of the client satisfaction. And, you know, there are several strategies that you can take with your team in this situation, but you've got to win that argument because we've tested this. I mean, there is no other measure. If there was a more direct or better measure, what would it be? If you have that conversation with your team, just be prepared to pack a lunch because your team will come up with all kind of rationalizations and impossible to measure intangibles and things, just a bunch of blah, 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 which in the end you're saying, yeah, but you can't measure that. So, you know, I just challenge you, if you have a negative correlation, if your referral rate is declining, you need to sit down with your team and get them focused on the team goal because it is obvious that they are... It's either one of two things. Either they have not accepted and embraced the team goal, and we'll go through the team goal here in a minute, or they're not competent. They're not as competent as you thought they were when they came onto your team. So it's one of the two. So it's a shape up or ship out situation. You just need to put your team on notice in a very encouraging way. But I'm just talking to you leader to leader. It's this annual referral rate needs to start turning around, or I'm going to have to start making some changes on the team. I mean, there's just no choice. And then this no correlation, it's not quite as bad as a negative correlation, but it's almost the same fix. An aimless correlation means that it's as you're implementing more value to clients, there is no correlation between the referral rate and adding more value to clients. And either the value to clients isn't as good as your team thinks it is, or they're just not taking it seriously enough. They're implementing more value on a kind of a across the entire client community. They're doing more things, but maybe some of these things are behind the scenes. Maybe some of these things your clients don't feel or they don't care about. They don't value. It's all about adding value to clients, and it's all about, you know, exceeding client expectations. And in the no correlation scenario, it's almost always a situation where your subject matter experts just are not taking it seriously. They don't take this idea of one-on-one focusing on each individual ideal client to determine what would it take for that client who we're meeting with in a month from now, you know, what would it take for us to specifically increase that client's expectations? So stop looking at it as a across your entire client community project and start thinking of it more as a client by client, as you're scheduling meetings with clients, you know, and preparing for those meetings. What can you do now that you're focused on that meeting with that client? What can you do in that situation to improve that client's expectations or exceed them? So those are the four scenarios, and that's roughly what you do. Now to answer the question, what should your referral rate be? Well, here's what I would write down. I would make notes of this, and I would say, you know, because this represents research of us observing advisors implementing this system who are successful. So implementation, step number one, your referral rate, that's your baseline. It is whatever it is. It doesn't really matter what it is. What matters is that you're tracking it and you're circulating that number updated on a monthly basis. But by step five, you should have exceeded the first milestone. So your annual referral rate needs to be 1 point something. So you should have an annual referral rate exceeding 1.0 by the time you get to step five. If you're on step five and are moving on to step six, but your annual referral rate is not yet at one, then you stop, you slow down, you work with your team, and you get your annual referral rate moving up, because you're either implementing too quickly or you're implementing carelessly. Those are the two usual scenarios. So stop and figure out what it is. And that's by step five. By step seven, you should have achieved the second milestone, which is at least two referrals per ideal client over the last 12 months. So an annual referral rate of two, of more than two. Step eight, annual referral rate more than three. Step nine, annual referral rate more than five. And then step 10, an annual referral rate over seven. And then by step 11, it's you've got to sit down and explore your team's skill level to see what they're capable of achieving. Are they focusing on this goal enough? And if so, what are they able to do? Show us what you're capable of. Show us your stuff. And this is to your team. Now, we've seen as an annual referral rate as high as 15 and achieved consistently over long periods of time, like more than 2 years at a time. So that just gives you some guidelines. Now, if you don't hit these numbers exactly, is it failure? No, I'm just giving you guidelines. You asked, what should it be? And I'm just giving you research. This is what the numbers are for advisors who successfully and thoroughly implement this system. And this is why advisors end up getting, you know, so many unsolicited client referrals that it drives a minimum of five initial client interviews per week on average. It's because you're adding more value to clients and you're pausing with your team long enough to see that show up in your annual referral rate. And then you move carefully and push forward based on comparing those two numbers, your forward implementation against your annual referral rate. So we've talked a lot about the team goal. We're about to wrap up here, but I didn't want to leave without telling you what. So I keep saying the team goal, the team goal, the team goal. What's the team goal? The way we present it, and I would pause long enough to say it's your team goal, so you set it. But here's what we recommend that you set as a team goal, because this is what we see achieved so often. So just open your mind and think, you know, you're sitting there wondering, I wonder if my team's capable of this. Well, you won't know until you set the goal. So I would not water it down. I would recommend just setting this goal exactly the way we present it. The goal is, as a team, we will deliver truly comprehensive financial services to every ideal client in a manner which exceeds their expectations. The most direct measure of success of the team goal is an increasing annual referral rate. And you pause in the team goal until every member of your team understands this, accepts this, and totally embraces this concept. And then as far as measuring success, we will have achieved the team goal when we're consistently experiencing five initial client interviews per week attributable to spontaneous unsolicited client referrals. So now your team has everything it needs. Here's what we're to do we're supposed to be exceeding client expectations. We're going to be measuring it with the annual referral rate, and we're going to keep increasing the annual referral rate until we have you know, until our advisor is experiencing five new meetings per week with new potential clients supplied by unsolicited client referrals. So we've talked a lot about what to do. Let's just kind of wrap up, you know, to improve. It's really going to boil down to assessing one-on-one. You're going to have to sit down with each subject matter expert individually and do the one-on-one performance review with the single question on the table in your mind. As you look across the table reviewing a subject matter expert, you're thinking, how is this subject matter expert contributing to the team goal? So let's just assume everybody's contributing to the team goal. Your job in these one-on-one sessions is to look for specifics, look for evidence of how specifically this subject matter expert is contributing to the team goal, and to encourage them and inspire your team member to push the envelope and to experiment with new ways of exceeding ideal client expectations. I mean, it's really their job to do it, but as leader, it's your job to inspire them to push even harder, to work even more, to figure out and crack the code of how to exceed each of your ideal client's expectations. So let's say that you're sitting down in a meeting one-on-one with a subject matter expert, and there is evidence that this subject matter expert is contributing to the team goal. So you're looking at them, you're thinking, well, is there evidence that this professional is contributing to the team goal? Let's say the answer is yes, then it's pretty simple. This subject matter expert can serve as an example to others, and you should be enlisting this subject matter expert who has cracked the code because you have evidence that they are contributing to exceeding client expectations. You need to try to enlist them to inspire the others and to use the evidence that you found for this subject matter expert as examples to help the others brainstorm ideas for exceeding client expectations. Let's go back. Let's say you're sitting across from a subject matter expert. You're asking yourself, is there evidence this subject matter expert is contributing to the team goal? And the answer is no. Well, then if they're not contributing, your options are a little bit limited. Really, what you're looking for is the subject matter expert willing to invest the time required to fill this skill gap? In other words, it's obvious they possibly don't even know how to exceed a client's expectations. But the real question is, are they willing to invest a lot of time to build a skill that will be valuable to them whether they remain on your team or not? But are they willing to invest the time to fill this skill gap? And if a team member is unable to contribute to the team goal, it's just for you as leader to acknowledge, you know, why are they on the team? And at some point, you may need to make a change. So they either are or they aren't. The answer you're looking for is, yes, I'm willing to invest the time to figure out how to exceed client expectations. Versus, you know, what you'll hear sometimes is a bunch of excuses. No, I can't spend all my time on your clients, and I just don't have enough. So if all you're getting is excuses, then you really have no choice. You know, there is no reason to have a member of the team on the team if they're not willing to contribute to the team goal. So as leader, it's your role to insist that every member of your team is contributing to the team goal. Otherwise, why are they on the team? So you just need to sit down and figure out which situation you're currently in. As you're implementing truly comprehensive financial services, is your annual referral rate increasing rapidly as you implement? This is high positive correlation. Is your annual referral rate increasing as you implement, but your team's skill is capable of more? In other words, you could be, yes, you're increasing your annual referral rate, but it could be more than you're currently experiencing. So increase the energy of your team, boost up the temperature, you know, talk it up more and spend more time with your team, encouraging and inspiring them to focus on the team goal. Is your annual referral rate actually declining as you implement this system? That's failure, and you need to sit down and address that with your team, get them to admit and acknowledge that, and to begin embracing the team goal. It's a shape up or ship out situation. Or Finally, the fourth scenario, as we make forward progress implementing, movements in the annual referral rates seem to have no connection. This is the no correlation scenario where your team is aimless. It's obvious that they have not embraced the team goal. And so the fix is substantially similar as the last scenario. And that is you need to really work one-on-one with team members to get them to understand the team goal, to accept the team goal, and to embrace the team goal. And those are the four scenarios. So that's it for this session of the Advisor Pack monthly session. As always, we wish you all the best in implementing. And until next month, I'm Mark Little.